Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. We're talking today about the heartbreak of Alzheimer's disease, and it seems like so many people have Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Prather, who has Alzheimer's disease?
It's basically a disease of as you get older. Mm-hmm. So most of the people who have Alzheimer's are 60 or over. There is early onset Alzheimer's, but that's a genetic problem. Mm-hmm. The 90% of the people is actually age-related. Mm-hmm. So you're basically talking about it as a disease as you get older.
Yeah, I know there was a movie out, Still Alice. I had read the book, and then the movie came out, and that was early onset.
Early onset, which is devastating, and that's something that is very, very difficult to actually have an effect on.
You're saying that's genetic.
That's a genetic issue, not well understood at this point, but definitely being researched. Mm-hmm. The majority of people who actually have Alzheimer's is more of a progressive type of disease, something that's kicked off by, dysfunction in the brain. Mm. So, you know, there are a lot of different types of issues that go on with it. Right now, there are 5 million Americans who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
5 million.
5 million. Wow. And it's interesting because just 50 years ago, it was a very, very rare disease. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's increasing quite rapidly on the number of people who actually have it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's expected to continue.
To increase.
They estimate that by 2050, that there would be...
It's 2015 right now.
Yeah.
2050,
that there will be about 14 million people who have it.
Wow.
Which is a dramatic increase.
Yeah, more than double.
Right, and it's also, one of the things is that they've actually implemented a huge study on it, mm-hmm. something to be dealt with. One of the things is it's just costing America so much money. It's a very difficult disease. It requires a lot of care. Right now, Medicare and Medicaid is spending $214 billion directly in Alzheimer's care.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a huge, huge amount of money and has been considered a national crisis. 2012, they had a huge conference on it because they were shocked at the numbers that were associated with it, mm-hmm. and the cost that was involved. By 2050, they expect it to cost $1.1 trillion for Medicare and Medicaid if something isn't figured out on how to stop it.
Wow.
So it is something that they feel is one of the major things that could bankrupt Medicaid and Medicare because of the cost associated with it.
Yeah, and it's, like you said, a prolonged disease. It can go on for years.
It can, and even people who have it have said, you know, I'd rather have cancer. Because at least I still have myself. Mm-hmm. And Alzheimer's is a very deadly disease. People always end up in, it's a terminal disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is Alzheimer's disease exactly?
It's the most common form of dementia right now. It's a progressive disease where it starts out mild, goes into a moderate, and then a severe phase. And so it's something that gets worse as you go along with it.
With the memory?
Right. So. It affects thought, memory, and language, and just cuts down on your whole personality. Mm-hmm. It keeps people from being able to carry on basic functions. You know, just the daily living types of things are necessary to have someone else actually come in and help them with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're looking at it from a scientific type of a viewpoint, it's a breakdown of the nerves in the brain. The nerves in the brain, the cells, each cell has about 2,000 different connections to other brain cells. Mm. And it's a very highly complex chemical and electrical system. And what Alzheimer's does is it actually breaks down that connection between the different nerve cells. And as it does that, then the nerve cells actually start to die. So it's a dysfunction in the brain's communication, which leads to death of the brain cells. And you can actually, you know, the only sure way of diagnosing Alzheimer's is a postmortem check on the brain, because there is a huge difference between a normal brain and an Alzheimer's brain. Mm. You know, there's actually a decrease in size, decrease in shape. It basically collapsing of the brain.
It's like the brain is dying?
The brain is basically dying.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I think, too, we haven't focused on the brain and health, you mm-hmm. know? We think of the heart, you know, the organs, and there hasn't been a major focus on the brain.
Correct.
Now with lots of concussions happening, mm-hmm. there seems to be more focus on that, and we're going to talk about that. What is known about the Alzheimer's disease?
One of the things is that they've been trying to figure out what causes it. And it's as we said, it's well shown that the brain starts to degenerate. There is something called amyloid plaques that develop. I'm not going to get into all the specifics because we'd probably lose the entire audience on that point.
Uh-huh.
Amyloid plaques, it's part of the breakdown, and the body actually starts to, that's pieces of the nerve cells
uh-huh.
that actually come and join together and actually makes plaques that interfere with the functioning of the brain. So at a cellular level, there is a breakdown of different parts of the brain, and those parts actually will form together and cause interference. So you can actually see as they do different types of images of the brain, you can actually see these plaques forming throughout the entire brain mm-hmm. as those dead parts of the brain are actually conjoined together. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting type of a process on that,
mm-hmm.
and a complete cause on that is not known. And one of the things that they keep looking for is a single cause.
Mm-hmm.
And in this type of situation, there isn't a single cause. It's actually multiple causes. One of the things that causes the breakdowns that's hypothesized, and what I feel is definitely going on, understanding the chemical nature of this, mm-hmm. is free radicals.
Mm.
Free radical pathology seems to play a very, very big role in that.
We've done a whole show on just free radicals.
Just on free radicals, and that has a huge effect in a lot of different types of areas. So one of the ways that you can actually work with that is trying to improve the free radicals. There seems to be a tremendous amount of nutritional involvement. Fatty acids are extremely important. The brain is basically made up of fat.
It needs fat.
It needs fat. You know, there is certain cholesterol molecules that are made just specifically for the brain, and there seems to be an interference along those lines that can kick that off. There are a lot of other different types of things, lowered oxygenation to the brain, arteriosclerosis, hypertension, atherosclerosis, all of those can play a very, very big role also, and have been shown to be very, very definitely involved with Alzheimer's. Inflammation, inflammatory process throughout the body, mm-hmm. is also playing a very, very big role in Alzheimer's. So that's a very big key to, if you can keep the inflammation down. Trauma to the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football players have a very high incidence of Alzheimer's. So, you know, don't bang your head against the wall. It's bad for your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Car accidents.
Or the ground.
Right. Car accidents. There's an awful lot of association between, you know, brain concussions from car accidents, and also Alzheimer's can kick that off.
Mm.
You know, all these different types of things. There's also a very strong correlation between certain medicines and Alzheimer's. You know, the increase of pharmaceutical Our number of pharmaceuticals that we've been taking has been increasing on a dramatic rate. People who are 65 and older are oftentimes taking 12 to 18 different medicines. Mm. And several of those pharmaceuticals have been shown to have a very direct correlation with the increase of Alzheimer's. So an awful lot of factors. Don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking...
Is that because of the lack of oxygen?
It cuts down on the amount of oxygen, increases the free radicals. It also it causes nutritional deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C levels are always low in people who smoke because you require so much vitamin C to counteract the effects of smoke. Cigarette smoking is a definite precursor to Alzheimer's. So all of these different types of things come together to cause a situation that has kicked off Alzheimer's from being a very rare type of situation 50 years ago to becoming one of the leading causes of death. It is right now for people 65 years old and older, is the fifth leading cause of death. And
wow.
They actually feel that's underreported.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes other different types of pneumonia becomes a very common type of cause of death for people who have Alzheimer's. But the Alzheimer's is one of the precursors that leads to the actual death, and it's feeling that it's being actually underreported on the number of deaths that are actually related to that. So it's a very, very increasing type of a problem, and is expected to eventually become about the third leading cause of death in people 65 years and older after cancer and cardiovascular disease.
Wow. Well, up next, let's talk about how effective present treatments are for Alzheimer's disease. You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, there was a major study by an insurance company that focused on the healthcare model you use in your office. What were the results of that study?
It actually was quite a seismic finding. I like that term.
Yeah.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. It's a Chicago-based health maintenance organization. The group has 600,000 enrolled members. So they took about 10,000 of those and put them in with chiropractors who are trained in the structure-function model.
Mm.
Now, not all chiropractors are trained in the structure-function model. These gentlemen actually got the same type of training that I had.
Okay.
And they were the primary care physicians. After 5 years, they had startling results.
Mm.
They had a reduction of 60.2% in hospital admissions.
Wow.
They had 59% reduction in hospital days.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 62% reduction in outpatient surgeries and procedures. And a remarkable 85% reduction in pharmaceutical costs.
Wow.
This resulted in a total savings in the first 5 years of 40% over all the other primary care physicians.
40%.
40% reduction. If you can imagine that we could reduce our healthcare costs across the board by 40%.
And get those kind of results.
And there were 80% less reactions. There was a reduction in lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reduction in everything. Plus, the people were much, much healthier and much more satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that the specialists, the cardiologist, the oncologist, the gastroenterologist, all the specialists, as they were asked to rate the difference in the two different models.
Mm-hmm.
They gave the structure-function model as the primary care coming in a 96% satisfaction rating, and they gave the disease model as primary care a 40%. The results are indisputable.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. We're talking today about the heartbreak of Alzheimer's disease, and the statistics, Dr. Prather, you were sharing are outrageous, really.
Yeah, it's becoming something that, as the population ages, something that people need to be aware of and working on preventing.
Yeah, it's interesting. People are living longer.
Sure.
But what's happening to their brain?
Right.
And now I bet you there's going to be a big focus on the brain.
Oh, huge focus. The this has reached national attention. President Obama has called out as a national emergency. Mm-hmm. So they have a huge amount of effort that's been put out there. Tremendous amount of research money because the costs are just devastating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how effective are present treatments for Alzheimer's disease?
That's a very interesting thing. Right now, all the medical treatments are just hopefully delay some of the effects. So there is no effective treatment at this point. Mm-hmm. So what you're trying to do is hopefully get maybe 2 years benefit, mm-hmm. or months sometimes, on actually delaying the onset. So at this point, the treatments are helpful, mm-hmm. but certainly aren't anything to get excited about. Mm-hmm. So there's a very big race within the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm. on trying to figure out who can come up with the cure for Alzheimer's. You know, mm-hmm. if they can find an effective medicine at this point, the company that accomplishes that is just, you know, that would be a stock to buy.
Uh-huh.
and at this point, the treatments are lackluster at best.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You were talking about Alzheimer's is mm-hmm. fatal, correct?
Correct.
But it's not the Alzheimer's that kills you, right? Is it secondary or?
It really increases the chance of pneumonia is probably one of the most common causes that people actually die from.
Mm-hmm.
So you can die directly from the Alzheimer's, and that's what they're recording. But there's also a lot of other different types of things that occur. Most commonly, people die from pneumonia, and that's actually what's usually written down on their death certificate.
Oh, so it's hard to track?
It's yes, and they feel that the numbers that are of people that are actually dying from Alzheimer's is actually higher than what's actually reported.
Because of that.
Because other different factors come into that it's not. In other words, the secondary things that occur because of Alzheimer's are actually what's putting down for their cause of death.
You know, I'm just thinking of all the Alzheimer's units now in nursing homes. And
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's becoming a huge problem, and something that is interestingly enough, most of the Alzheimer's patients are being treated by family members.
Really?
Yes. Matter of fact, one of the common things that I'm seeing in here is people are coming in with a lot of complaints, and it's basically a collapse of their health because of them treating Alzheimer's patients. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I had a couple who came in, and both of them had a father that they treated both in their homes.
And they took care of him.
And they took care of them, and they had both recently died, and there was just a basic collapse in both of their healths afterwards because it was such a burden on them.
You're saying the caregiver.
The caregivers. Mm-hmm. So the caregiver, you know, not only are we having health conditions with the Alzheimer's patients, but the caregivers.
Mm.
It's not an unusual thing for me to get patients who are coming in, basically because they say, you know, I'm a caregiver for an Alzheimer's patient, and, you know, I need some help.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, let's talk about what the Prather practice offers as treatments for Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's seems to be a collapse of the normal functioning of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're talking about treatments for the Alzheimer's, it's a basic thing that there are different health conditions that are occurring. You have free radical pathology that you need to take care of. You have inflammation in the body that has a great deal of effect along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain drugs that people are taking that if you could work off of them, their chances of getting Alzheimer's would decrease quite dramatically. There are problems with sleep. Depression is a very big factor that leads to Alzheimer's too.
Mm.
Because depression definitely cuts down on the normal functioning of the brain. And as that occurs, then you start to actually have some of the precursors to Alzheimer's, you know, that are going around. So if you can actually go on ahead and fix a lot of the basic health issues,
mm-hmm.
Then the Alzheimer's isn't going to occur. So it's getting back to the basics,
mm-hmm.
you know, reducing the free radicals, reducing the inflammation, increasing the oxygenation to the brain. If you're anemic, your chances of having Alzheimer's increases quite a bit.
And why is that?
Well, oxygenation. The brain is one of the biggest users of oxygen mm-hmm. in the body.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that when I work on deep breathing with people.
Sure.
And they start getting dizzy and...
Yeah,
you know, their
a little
brain
bit.
Isn't you know used to all that oxygen.
All that oxygen going mm-hmm. to it. So if you can keep the oxygenation to the brain, then the brain doesn't have that breakdown going on.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the blood vessels have very interesting chemical properties that are only found in the brain because of the intricacy between oxygenation and the brain function. So keeping the oxygenation up. And matter of fact, that's one of the things that they found is aerobic exercise has a huge preventative effect on Alzheimer's because you increase the oxygenation throughout the entire body.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely
very
big
important
factor.
To keep moving. And
moving.
We were talking about that. One of our patients is retiring after 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and she's looking forward to getting out from the desk and sitting.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, she's in her 60s, but wants to move more, you know, and we're just sitting so much more than we used to.
Oh, and that definitely has a huge effect on Alzheimer's. There's a very strong correlation. Also, education level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how educated you are, the less chances you have of actually getting Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
The more cognitive type of function that you have has a huge effect on how much your chances of getting. In other words, the more you use your brain,
mm-hmm.
the more you exercise it, the more you exercise your body, the better off you are.
Well, I know my dad had heard crossword puzzles
mm-hmm.
help with brain, so he does one every morning.
Yeah, and very, very strong correlations on that. Matter of fact, they can find that exercise and using your brain can slow down Alzheimer's and sometimes even reverse it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So exercise, and basically all you're doing is you're getting the normal functions of the body. It's a breakdown of the general health of the system. So looking at all those different types of issues, you can really see that can make a difference. And diet plays a huge role, too.
Let's talk about free radicals.
Sure.
How do you treat them here at the Prather practice?
Well, there are supplements called antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the basic types of things, vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin E, all the fatty acid types of vitamins are all involved in free radicals. Selenium, zinc also play a very big role as some of the minerals. So, and you can actually tell on blood work that people have free radicals.
Okay.
One thing that occurs is that the blood... Actually, the red blood cells, if they get free radicals on them, they actually clump together.
Mm.
And on the blood test, it will actually show up that there's clumping.
What are you
of the
looking
red blood
for?
Cells. Well, there are certain types of blood tests within the CBC. that will show alterations due to free radicals.
Okay. And that is that part of the Prather profile that we do here?
That is part of the Prather profile.
So
it's something that's very evident on lab tests if you have high free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And as we can get those antioxidants, and what they mean by antioxidants is that they help with the oxygenation process, where you actually make energy in the body. That plays a very big role, and one of the things as free radicals increase, mitochondria in the cells will decrease, which is actually the energy packets because of the breakdown, and they find a very strong correlation between the number of mitochondria in the brain cells and the onset of Alzheimer's. So as that starts to go down, Alzheimer's increases. So free radicals are absolutely critical in making sure that that's not something that's going on in the system.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Are there other nutritional products that you have here at the Prather practice that help with Alzheimer's?
One of the things that they've really found is very, very important is coconut oil.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, coconut oil has something called caprylic acid in it, which has actually has the best results in clinical trials of even over the pharmaceuticals at this point.
Wow.
I
know we sell skinny coconut oil here.
Yes.
That is local, actually.
Right.
The coconuts are from Vietnam, but...
Right.
Yeah.
So the coconut oil is something that has just been an internet sensation for people with Alzheimer's. They're all just... there's a lot of anecdotal, testimonials on how coconut oil has helped people with Alzheimer's. There has been clinical studies done. Matter of fact, they were looking at using a portion of the coconut oil as a pharmaceutical for Alzheimer's, and with very, very good success. They did not continue with that. They decided just to make it into a food type product. So they didn't do the stage 3 research. But coconut oil is something that's not going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is...
As long as you like coconut. Right.
Right. So it's something that doesn't have negative side effects. But there has been some very, very excellent research that was done and some very excellent results that seem to come out of that. But there are also other different types of studies that have been shown to be extremely important. The B vitamins. Checking to see if you are low on your B12, your folic acid, your B3, all seems to play a very, very big role. Again, they've had some very good studies that have been shown to have a great effect. Now, there are a lot of people who don't have a great effect, but again, what we're talking about here is an overall type of a health improvement.
Right.
So if you are low on your B3, that is going to affect your Alzheimer's. If you are low on B12, if you're low on folic acid. But the interesting part is you don't get results if you're not low on them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are low, you can actually get some dramatic, but we can actually do blood tests to find that out.
Well, interesting. Well, up next, let's talk about other treatments such as brain core therapy that we offer here, auricular therapy, how acupuncture affects Alzheimer's.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
He's a good doctor, I think, you know. I told him I get heartburn sometimes, so he goes and gets me a list of things that cause heartburn. I'm looking at the list and I'm like, I already know this. I know how to get it. That's like going into the hospital with a cannonball wound and they show you a list. Here's how you get cannonball wounds. I have a cannonball wound. It's gaping. Do you have a tube of cannonball wound ointment?
Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. Well, we're talking today about the heartbreak of Alzheimer's disease. And Dr. Prather, you were talking about the different treatments that you offer for Alzheimer's here at The Prather Practice. And one thing that hit me, too, is you're saying there's not just one cause. You have to look at the whole person.
Sure. And one of the things that has been a problem on trying to solve Alzheimer's is oftentimes the medical concept of one cause, one cure. Mm-hmm. So they want to find like this magic bullet that takes care of it. And I don't think Alzheimer's is just a magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different types of factors that go into this. So, you know, understanding all those factors and which factors are actually affecting your particular Alzheimer's is really where we come in as a structure function office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, understanding the differences between the allopathic type of medicine where you're actually treating a disease. So, you know, all these things aren't really treatments for Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are medicines that they are trying to find out, some pharmaceuticals, which hopefully they can find something that can reverse some of this type of process. They're doing some benefit, but certainly not to the level that we would like to see. But really going back and understanding the causes of that, and we're not finding that there is one cause.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple causes. So if you are being treated for the Alzheimer's in a structure function manner, which is looking for the cause and getting that corrected, bringing the body back into homeostasis, there could be, you know, one person, you could have five different people in here with Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
and have five different treatments because they have different underlying causes.
Hmm. Interesting.
And that's where we come in to try to find out what those are.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that based on lab tests.
Okay. Well, let's talk about another therapy that we offer here called BrainCore. What benefit can it have for Alzheimer's?
Well, one of the things that they have found is exercising the brain is probably one of the best treatments that you can possibly have for Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what BrainCore is. It's an exercise for the brain. It can work the brain more intensely, more quickly than any other different type of exercise for the brain you could possibly come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the benefit of doing a crossword puzzle every day definitely has some effect, but BrainCore probably has 100 times greater effect on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it through exercises that have been developed over a long time, based off of QEEG readings, those exercises can help to balance out the different types of brain waves, exercise different portions of the brain. And one of the things that they found is that the brain has what's called neuroplasticity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, say that fast 20 times.
I got the neural part.
Basically, what it means is that the brain is very plastic. In other words, it's very much reshaping. You can actually work it, change it in
that's
a very
encouraging.
Quick type of... Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to that I have actually seen on any type of testing is brain core therapy to encourage that brain plasticity to actually come back into a normal. So it's great for ADD, ADHD, all sorts of different types of brain conditions, but especially excellent for Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can get some very tremendous types of changes along those lines, and it's a direct treatment. And exercising the brain has been found to be the best treatment for Alzheimer's at this point. So BrainCore is something that is probably one of the most recommended things that you could possibly do for Alzheimer's to help people to get back to where they need to.
I know.
And also prevention.
Yeah, and we're seeing great results.
Sure.
You know, even with depression, you know, using
absolutely.
The BrainCore.
Anxiety, depression.
Insomnia.
Mm-hmm. All those different types of things have been shown to be extremely beneficial. So that would be something, any type of indications of Alzheimer's, that would be one of the first things that I would do.
Now, what about auricular therapy? How can that help Alzheimer's? And probably a lot of people, unless they've been listening to our show for a while, we
right.
talk about auricular therapy, very powerful treatment. How does that help Alzheimer's?
Well, what we do is we use a microcurrent on the ears, and as that does that, then it also changes the neuroplasticity of the brain. One of the things that they have found is that as you do the microcurrent, they've been able to do MRIs on the brain and actually see different areas of the brain light up. So it's another approach, whereas the BrainCore is you exercising your brain.
Mm-hmm.
What the auricular therapy is, it's an outside, more passive type of brain-changing type of effect.
Mm.
So again, it's changing some of the synapses, some of the connectivity of the brain, so that it helps to actually rewire the brain and help it to work better. So it's perfect for an Alzheimer's type of condition. And it would probably be someone who is actually more advanced in their Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
probably isn't going to be able to do the BrainCore exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas auricular therapy is more of a passive type of a treatment, where we can actually get some effects on the brain directly and see some changes. And
Without effort from the patient. They have to lay down.
Right.
That doesn't take a lot of effort.
But people are amazed at the changes that occur with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been able to hear people even as they're on the table.
Yeah.
And just some of the relaxation that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And auricular therapy is also excellent for pain relief. We use that for sciatica. We use that for all sorts of different types of pain. Cancer, mm-hmm. intertractable pain. Auricular therapy is probably one of the best treatments along those lines. So anything to do with the nervous system, auricular therapy, we really find an extreme, extreme benefit.
How about chiropractic? Can that be helpful for Alzheimer's?
Yes, the chiropractic, especially dealing with the atlas axis, occiput connection, has a very direct connection. As you can get the adjustments up and through there, you can see a lot of the incoordination, some of the weakness that occurs with Alzheimer's actually reverse very, very quickly.
Wow.
So making sure that there isn't a major type of interference that occurs along those lines is something that should be a part of any type of Alzheimer's treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's occurring, that constant stress it's very, very important. We found it extremely helpful not only in Alzheimer's, but also MS and Parkinson's. People get some very, very good results along those lines.
Now, what about acupuncture? How helpful can that be?
There has been quite a few different studies, especially in Japan and China, on acupuncture and Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And the results on that are very, very encouraging. They found that there is a strong correlation between the use of acupuncture and a definite slowing down of the progression of Alzheimer's. So that would be something that people should look into.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a very, very safe type of treatment to help to slow down the Alzheimer's and to get some benefit out of that. And we have seen some very good results along those lines in our office, too.
Now, you said slow down Alzheimer's. Can Alzheimer's be reversed?
You can get some good reversal of Alzheimer's. It's a combination of things. At this point, you know, I wouldn't say that there's any type of cure out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can slow it down, if you can stop it in its progress, and if you can get some reversal along those lines, Everyone has some brain. In other words, as you get older, there is some normal breakdown of the brain.
Right, but you can tell everybody's kind of in a panic if they, you know, forget what they were talking about or...
Sure.
I'll have those moments and you... I call them sometimers.
Sometimers, yes. and those types of things, there is a normal type of amount on that. There is some conditions where, you know, you start to see the Alzheimer's occurring. But if you can keep it into a mild form, then that can be extremely, extremely helpful. You want to keep people as functioning and independent as possible as they age. One of the things that I thought was very interesting is that there's a progression on the increase in Alzheimer's, but if you don't show any Alzheimer's by the time that you're 90, you probably won't get it.
So you just got to make it to 90.
It's interesting, but, you know, because they thought that as they were doing studies along those lines, that, well, you know, when you get up into your 90s, I mean, probably everybody's going to start to develop it. But if you can kind of get...
Like dementia.
But they have found that if people hit their 90s in a good condition with their brain, very, very few actually develop any Alzheimer's or dementia after that point.
Interesting.
Matter of fact, if you can hit 90 and you're pretty well functional, your chances of remaining independent and functional for the rest of your life is actually extremely high.
It was interesting. Jimmy Kimmel had this man on. He was, I think, 91. And on his bucket list, he wanted to drive his car through his garage.
I saw that.
I'm glad he had his helmet on, you know, because...
Yes.
No brain injuries. So that was probably the age to do it, you know, 90, and then you can drive your car through the garage on purpose.
Yeah, and we're not really quite sure why that occurs, but I thought that was very interesting, though.
Yeah. Well, up next, let's talk about diagnostics that are very important for Alzheimer's.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what can a new patient expect when they come into your office?
The first thing is that's extremely important is a consultation. That's really where everything begins.
And that consultation is complimentary free. They can come in, and the consultation's with you, which is nice. Yeah,
the consultation is absolutely critical. In fact, you can get 90% of your diagnosis just from the consultation.
Listening to the patient.
Listening to the patient, finding out what their concerns are, what needs to be done, how we can best help them. Having a good understanding of the complaints of the patient is absolutely critical for good care. And the patient knowing that we are actually listening to them. We have very thorough intake forms that are extremely helpful. Gives us quite a bit of information of what's going on into the system. After the consultation, you have to look at the diagnostics.
You first have to
understand, you know, where the patient's coming from, have an idea, but then you have to know, you know, what to do, what the problem is. There is a difference on our diagnostics than from the medical diagnostics. The medical profession, as a disease care-based program, they are looking at disease states and combinations along those lines to treat the symptoms. Our basis of our care is a understanding of what is the underlying cause, finding out what that is. Usually caused by a break from homeostasis. And you're going to hear that word if you're listening to our radio program.
You're going to know
every
it well.
Time. Mm-hmm. Because homeostasis is the basis of our practice. And homeostasis is the basis of health. And we are a health office. Mm-hmm. That is what a structure function office is. Mm-hmm. So the diagnostics are extremely thorough, probably more thorough than what you would get anywhere else. We look at very extensive blood work. We might do hair analysis. Might do some evaluation of the gut because that's so important to one's health. We do a thorough cardiac evaluation. We do a thorough musculoskeletal exam. Many offices that even are into natural health are either just dealing with the functional aspect mm-hmm. or they are just dealing with the structural aspect. We are unique in that we deal with both and both of them extremely thoroughly and extremely well.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. We're talking today about the heartbreak of Alzheimer's disease and very interesting what you're bringing up, Dr. Prather.
Sure.
And, you know, I think sometimes people think it's something out of control that, you know, there are things we can do in our lives to
absolutely.
Prevent it.
Absolutely. I think prevention is probably one of the most important things on Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
and just getting your general health up to par.
Well, let's talk about how do we know if we have the Alzheimer's disease or what do we look for? Not that we want to be in a...
In a panic type state.
And, right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help the brain.
No. Stress and anxiety has a big effect on that. But memory problems are usually the first warning sign. So, you know, if you're having trouble remembering things, you know, where you put your keys, if you get lost easily, you know, if people have been driving something for, you know, 20, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they're going along and they're like...
Oh, driving a certain path, like to work.
Right.
Or,
and it's like, okay, I don't know where I'm supposed to be right now.
Mm-hmm. They've been there hundreds of times.
That would be a very, very big warning sign. Handling money, paying bills becomes a issue.
Not that they don't like to, but if they're
having trouble. If it's, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, you forget, you know, you've been paying your gas bill for, you know, years and all of a sudden you forget.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be an ongoing type of issue. That would be something that would be something to look for. You start to repeat questions. You know, in other words, if somebody keeps on asking you, you know, the same question over and over again,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, you know, you don't even remember that you had asked me that question, you know, four times already.
Mm, okay.
Matter of fact, people with Alzheimer's can repeat a question four or five times, you know, in a matter of a couple of hours. Which would be a sign that you have Alzheimer's or developing it. It takes longer to complete normal tasks. You have poor judgment. You know, also, you have some personality changes, mood changes. People who aren't typically, short in temper, all of a sudden things aggravate them very, very easily. So those would be all different types of early warning signs that Alzheimer's is starting to develop.
How do they come up with the diagnosis?
There are cognitive tests, memory tests mm-hmm. That you can take to actually come up with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. There's more involved types of tests that you can take. They're trying to develop some imaging types of tests so that they can actually see it. And one of the things that's interesting is that brain changes oftentimes start as many as 15 years before the symptoms start.
Okay.
So they're starting to come up with some diagnostic imaging that can actually show up the Alzheimer's, and oftentimes they're finding that it takes about 15 years before, you know, the actual breakdown of the brain, mm-hmm. before it starts showing up in
That's
performance.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. So, you know, this is something that just doesn't happen overnight, but all of a sudden it can seem like it.
Mm-hmm. So what diagnostics are important for Alzheimer's that you offer at the Prather practice?
Well, again, checking on the general health of the body is something that's extremely, extremely important. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is to figure out what's your basic physiology. If you're showing up high free radicals, if you're anemic, those are all different types of factors. If you don't have the good oxygenation, if you're starting to show up hypertension, so a lot of the basic types of warning signs. If you're developing cardiovascular disease, that's a good sign that you can also develop Alzheimer's. Because, again, Alzheimer's is very much related to oxygenation to the brain. So if you're not getting oxygen to your heart, which can kick off a lot of the cardiovascular, mm-hmm. then you also have a higher chance of Alzheimer's. So making sure that your heart, keeping hypertension low, mm-hmm. Arteriosclerosis, atherosclerosis is all very important to check and make sure that that's not occurring in your system, because that's also a precursor to Alzheimer's. If you have liver congestion, that is something that can kick off Alzheimer's.
Why is that?
The liver is a detoxifier, mm-hmm. and is also important for helping the body to make the basic elements of the brain. So that seems to also be a big factor along those lines.
I know we did a whole show on detox
in the liver. Speaking of that, making sure that you don't have toxins throughout the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heavy metal toxicity. If you have mercury and aluminum, your chances of getting Alzheimer's are much, much higher. Aluminum.
You said mercury and aluminum.
Mercury and aluminum. Mm-hmm. Mercury actually will damage the brain cells directly, because that's where it accumulates. Aluminum, the big factor on aluminum is it changes the mineral composition of the body and can kick off arteriosclerosis, especially hardening of the arterioles, which are where the oxygen exchange takes place. So aluminum will really cut down very, very strongly the oxygenation to the brain. So making sure that you don't have high aluminum. We had a severe Alzheimer's patient. Well, we've had several. Checked, did a hair analysis, found out that they had a high aluminum, started to detox the aluminum, and we could see some definite changes in their Alzheimer's.
Interesting, and that was through the hair analysis.
That was through the hair analysis. So blood work, making sure that you don't have high homocysteine, high C-reactive protein. That constant type of inflammation is something that causes damage to the brain and can kick off Alzheimer's. So blood work, hair analysis, GI, you know, if there's a lot of inflammation through the gut, that can also kick it off too.
Why inflammation? You talk about inflammation.
Inflammation is found to be one of the biggest contributors to Alzheimer's. Inflammatory process causes damages throughout the entire body, and especially to the sensitivity of the brain. It will cause breakdown in the cellular wall. It will cause problems with the chemical reactions between the nerves. So it's an interfering type of factor, and that's one of the reasons that head trauma is such a big contributor to Alzheimer's, because you're talking about an inflammatory reaction throughout, specifically on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keeping that under control is very, very important.
Interesting. Well, what role does diet play in Alzheimer's?
Well, they have found a very strong correlation between diet and Alzheimer's. Increased inflammatory type of products, sugar, very, very definitely a contributing factor to Alzheimer's. High fructose, high sugar in the diet, simple carbohydrates, all play a very big role in the inflammatory process, and causes a lot of stress on the nervous system.
Mm.
So, you know, keeping that down. Eating a lot of omega-3s through fish. Matter of fact, my mom always used to say, fish is your brain food. Mm-hmm. And that's actually true, because they are high in omega-3s, and there's a very strong correlation between how much you're taking in on your omega-3s and the function of the brain. Again, the brain is basically fat, and omega-3s has a huge effect on that and can really help out with the keeping down dementia and Alzheimer's.
Well, Dr. Prather, we're out of time. Thank you for a very interesting show. The Heartbreak of Alzheimer's Disease. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Healthy Habits from the Prather Practice is a natural weight loss program with a proven success rate. Healthy Habits is an individualized program that is tailored to each patient's needs. Healthy Habits is not a trendy diet. The program actually resets your body's metabolism for optimal fat burning. The Healthy Habits program includes concentrated vitamins and minerals that help you to burn fat and feel more energetic. Healthy Habits provides support from a counselor and exercise physiologist in order to maximize your results and help you create new healthy habits in your life. This program even helped our own Dr. Prather to lose 24 pounds and shed 4 inches from his waist in just 12 days. Schedule your consultation with a Healthy Habits counselor at the Prather Practice at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048, or on the web at the Voice of Health. HealthRadio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.